to the bend. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in that wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted that you turned your radio dial to join us for a few moments of study once again from the most precious treasure offered to mankind, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us about the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, what a treasure it is to know the Lord Jesus, to know the forgiveness of sin, to know the peace that Jesus gives, to know the future that is made available and made known to the individual who has accepted Jesus as Savior, to have the Holy Spirit living within your spirit. So many wonderful treasures and truths become a reality when an individual opens their heart and invites Jesus Christ to come into their life. We speak about the heart, but what we're speaking about actually is our spirit, the spiritual part of man. Remember, God created man as a triune being. And this is a wonderful fact that the Word of God reveals to us and tells us about how God created man. He created man with a body which houses the soul and the spirit. The soul of man has to do with the thinking part of our mind, our emotions and our feelings, and our will, that with which we make choices and decisions. And so we see that is the soul of man. This is the part of man that the psychiatrist deals with, the part of man that people know each other by. For instance, if you hear someone knock on the door, and you say, "Who is it?" And they say, "It's me." Well, you recognize something about their tone of voice as to who "me" is. And so you open the door and invite them in. This has to do with the soul of man, our personality, the way we're made up, the things that cause us to walk and act and do the way that we do. It's the soul of man. And then the third part of man is the spiritual part of man. And so God created man with a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now the spirit of man relates to the spirit world. There's another world around us that's going on and is in operation all the time that we're often unaware of. It's the spiritual world. There's much demonic activity, which is evil spirits that are under the control of Satan. Now, how can we know this? Because the Word of God explains it to us and tells us about it. The first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four Gospels of the New Testament, tell us often about people that were indwelt and possessed by spirit, evil spirits, and the terrible things that those spirits made people do. Even today, beloved, there's much spiritual activity that goes on, and many criminal acts are because of the influence and control of demonic activity that is occurring about us. We're going to begin to see more of it here in the United States of America, because America is turning away more and more from the truth of the eternal God. There was a time when America was called a Christian nation because we operated on basic principles taught in the Word of God. But more and more our nation is turning away from these basic principles of morality and truth. And we're seeing sin prevailing, and we're seeing sin abounding in our nation, and as a result, we see crime increasing, and we see our jails being overrun with criminals, and it's because God has been left out of our nation, out of its politics, out of the control of the government of our nation. And as a result, we see that the Word of God is no longer taught in the public school. There was a time when I was in high school that we had a Bible club. Every noon we would meet and we'd sing gospel choruses and we'd study the Word of God together. But this is no longer allowed in our schools here in our nation. There's many things that have occurred in the nation of the United States of America that's causing our nation to drift away from God and causing our nation to lose the influence that it once had in the world around us. And so, beloved, we see that God's Word is so vital, so important, so needed, and so necessary. It is the greatest treasure, the written Word of God and the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes all the difference in an individual's life and in the life of a nation, in the life of a people. And so the Bible we're talking about is explained in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, the Word of God has to be compared with other Scriptures. You can't just pull one Scripture out and build a life around it. You have to take the whole picture that's presented by the Word of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now the term Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are synonymous. That is, they're the same, just different terminology. But it's referring to the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that directed Old Testament prophets to speak and proclaim what they did. There's many different books in the Old Testament that were written by Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, books that were written by men who were under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit inspired them to write these different books, and the Holy Spirit inspired them to speak the words of God to the nation of Israel. And so we see the Word of God was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and thus it is true, written down for mankind to be benefited by if we will believe it, if we will accept it, and if we will obey it. Our nation here in the United States of America was founded by men who believed in the Word of God. The majority of them were born-again believers. The majority of them knew God's Word and believed God's Word and proclaimed the Word of God. And that's why the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights was written the way it was, because these men had a fear for Almighty God. They recognized the importance of human life, and many of the things written in this great document were written by these men who believed in God, who loved God, and who sought to honor God and have a nation that feared God. But our nation has drifted so far away from what it once was. The Bible also explains that the Lord will open to people great treasure. God, speaking to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 28:12, said, "The Lord shall open unto thee His great treasure." And it's the treasure of truth, beloved. The treasure of knowing what's right and knowing what's wrong. That which will benefit mankind and be a blessing to the human race if they will take heed and listen to and obey the truths contained in the Word of God, the Biblios, the Bible. And so God explained wonderful blessings that He would give to Israel if they would obey Him. And much of this is found in the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch or the Torah. Now the New Testament is filled with promises to the person who will believe in, obey, and honor the Lord. And it all begins with the great treasure of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into one's life. The person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, who opens up the treasure of God's Word to the believer. As I mentioned to you before, John 3:6 tells us that which is born of the flesh is flesh, speaking of physical birth. Jesus was speaking to a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and He told Nicodemus he must be born again. And Nicodemus said, "What do you mean? I've got to enter into my mother's womb and be born again." And Jesus said, "No, I'm not speaking of the physical, I'm speaking of the spiritual, that part of man that relates to the spirit world. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is the spiritual part of man." That's what Jesus was referring to. And that's what I'm talking about when a person opens their heart and asks the Lord Jesus to come in to forgive them for their sin, to give them that gift of salvation and eternal life. And even a little child can make this decision, can make this choice. I was only 5 years old. It was a month before my sixth birthday when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I didn't understand all about it, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew I disobeyed my parents. I knew the truth that God loved me and had sent Jesus to die for my sin, to pay the penalty for my wrongdoing, that if I'd trust Him, He'd come into my life and forgive me for my sin. And so I well remember September the 7th, 1941, when I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life and into my heart. Beloved, He answered that prayer, and He came in. And the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you if right now you'll ask Him to come into your life. I trust you will. Until next time, God bless you. Goodbye.